to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 27th, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
You know, in our lives, things go along kind of smoothly for a while, and then we hit a turning point. Some of these turning points are normal and expected. We get braces. That was a turning point. No more apples. Gotta watch out for bubble gum. We get a driver's license. We graduate from high school. Maybe we get married, we get our first job. All these are sort of expected in the path of life, and they all create opportunities for change and transformation. They lead us from one developmental stage to another. But then there are other turning points that are shocks to the system, unexpected, often difficult things. Maybe we get fired from that job. Maybe our marriage falls apart. Maybe we face a death in the family. These are also turning points. Then there are the big societal turning points that affect everybody. 9/11, the Great Depression, and now war in Ukraine. These also invite us to reflect on our lives. They're turning points of one kind or another. The real trick, the real challenge is how we respond to these turning points. What are we going to do when either the good or the bad things happen to us? How are we going to respond? That's the theme, I think, of our scriptures today. Because all of them, in one way or another, deal with turning points. In our Old Testament lesson, Joshua is now leading the people of Israel. Moses has died. That entire generation that left Egypt and has wandered in the wilderness are all gone. It's now the next generation, and God has now said it's time to cross over. And so, very symbolically, they wait till the Passover. The first Passover was when they crossed the Red Sea, and now on this Passover, 40 years later, they cross the river into the land of Canaan. It is a time of great change and transformation. Finally, all that generation of waiting has come about. How will they respond? Will they be faithful to God? St. Paul, in his epistle to the Corinthians, is reminding them that their conversion to Christ, their experience of baptism, is a turning point that has immense implications for them. They need to live into this transformation. Remember, he says, that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation, a new creation. You were created once. This is a whole new ballgame. How will you live? Will you live in love, or will you keep on with your selfish ways? In one way, our gospel today is a story about a turning point. The younger son finds himself in a far-off country. He has hit rock bottom. How rock bottom? Well, as an observant Jew, he's living with the pigs, the unclean animals. Those animals he was not supposed to eat or touch or have anything to do with. That's how low he has fallen. He comes to himself. That's the way the story tells us. He comes to himself in this moment of need and decides to change his course. The same kind of metanoia change that we were talking about last week as well. When you look at this story a little bit deeper, there's some other stuff going on, and I want to talk for a minute about that, because Jesus loves to tell stories that we can relate to as human beings. And this is a story of a very dysfunctional family. I've preached about this before, but it reminds me very much of my own family and those dynamics. Two boys, couldn't be more different. And let's look at these characters, because, you know, often we look at the father as being God and the younger son is the good guy because he converts. But what is going on? I think there's some issues with each one of these characters. The father in this story, I don't know how to put this, but he is a complete idiot. Look what he does. His younger son, who has never shown an ounce of responsibility, comes to him and says, I don't want to wait for my inheritance. Give it to me now. And being a good parent, he says, get a haircut and get a real job, right? Isn't that the response? No, he says, sure, son, let me sell everything I have and split it and give you your half right now. And of course, the younger son takes it and blows it quickly. That's what leads him into this spot. So I'm sorry, the father is not the hero of this story, at least not on the surface. He's a poor parent. What about the younger son? The younger son, who is the converted one, Now, we had a little debate in our Bible study. Those who are here, who are at Bible study, we had an interesting phenomenon. I'm gonna test it out with you today. Raise your hand if you were the youngest in your family. All right. Now raise your hand if you were the oldest in your family. If you were in the middle, I'm leaving you out because you know as the middle child, you watch the conflicts and you stay out of it, right? You watch the younger and the older go at it. So this is really about the younger and the older. What we noticed is that the older children in our Bible study group had a real sympathy for the older son in this story, right? Because look at him, he's the good guy. He's responsible and hardworking. He stays with his father. He never even got a goat to celebrate with his friends. Doesn't that break your heart? This hardworking, responsible guy, I mean, he's clearly the hero of the story, right? Well, is he? The younger son is not the hero because he wastes all the money. He is a lousy human being. He takes the inheritance and he blows it, right? On terrible things, dissolute living. If you're over 18, we can talk about what that means later. So he's not a hero, but is the older son the hero? Is he? That's the interesting point that I think Jesus is inviting us to think. Like all parables, there are levels and levels of meaning in this story. What is the point? What is the reason? Who is this story for? Who is hearing it for the first time? It was, and apologies, the tax collectors and sinners, that's you guys, they were there listening to the story, and then the Pharisees and scribes. Right? The holy, religious, upright, law-abiding, virtuous people, and the scum of the earth. I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult you, but that's who it was. And here's the irony. This is the point that really Jesus keeps coming back to. Guess who is receptive to the good news of Jesus and the gospel? Guess who it is? Is it the law-abiding, righteous, holy, good people? No. It was the scum of the earth. They're the ones who really got it because they had learned one lesson. And it turns out this was the only lesson that mattered. They had learned that they could not achieve salvation on their own. Their lives had fallen apart. They were broken. They were hungry. They were thirsting for something good. And they knew that everything they had tried had not worked. They found themselves like the younger son, lying in a pigsty and wondering what it would take to get back to God. So they had the bravery to come and listen to Jesus, to dare, to hope that there might be some good news for them. And although he was a terrible parent, the father in this story also is the good guy. Because before that younger son could even get there, what did he do? he ran down the path, ran to meet his terrible son, to embrace him, to put on the royal robe, to put the ring on his finger, to kill the fatted calf, because the one who was lost was found. Like the sheep, remember? The good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the lost sheep. Well, this son was the lost sheep, and the joy of the father is something beautiful in this story. It is the joy of God when one who has fallen astray has come home. And the word is welcome, not judgment. Ironically, it's the good guy, the Pharisee, the scribe, the older son, who has trouble with this. You know, we get this, I think, as human beings, because we resent like heck good things happening to bad people. You know, the old saying is, why do bad things happen to good people? That's not the hard part. The hard part is when good things happen to bad people. That really gets under our skin. That drives us crazy. That turns us into the older brother with, I imagine him, with his teeth clenched and his arms folded. He can't even admit that this is his brother. This son of yours has come back, and you're doing everything for him, and I didn't even get a goat. It's all about him. He feels like, and I'm dating myself here, do you remember the old Smith Barney commercial? About Houseman? At Smith Barney, they make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it. Remember that? Well, the Pharisees and scribes are Smith Barney older brother types. We achieve righteousness and salvation the old way. We earn it. We don't need God. We've got the law. We don't need forgiveness. We're doing everything right. And that is the fatal blow. Because until they see that they are no different from the tax collectors and sinners, still dependent on God's grace, still needing forgiveness, they cannot come in to the party. Not because God doesn't want them there, but because they're too stubborn and proud to go if those people are going to be there. I don't know about you, but this convicts me because I am 100% the older brother in this story. I struggle with judgmentalism. I struggle with people wanting me to measure up to my standards. I have trouble letting go of that. And I think it is a problem for many. Until we see our need for God, until we come to the realization that we cannot make it on our own, we cannot open our hearts to receive the mercy and forgiveness of God. This story for me is so deep and profound because we can use it as a lens to look at so many issues in the world today. You could take this story as a parable about the war in Ukraine, the older brother of Russia and the younger brother of Ukraine. I was talking to our cleaning lady, who's become a dear friend. We've been trying to support her during this difficult time. She still has family living in Ukraine. And she said to me an interesting thing. She said, you know, I didn't like Volodymyr Zelensky at all. She said, none of my family voted for him. We thought he was a clown. He was a comedian. He was a TV star. He wasn't a leader. We thought he was a joke. But guess what? He's gone through a turning point. Volodymyr Zelensky has become a leader. He's risen up to the challenge. He's become an inspiration to his people and even to the world. And the controlling, power-hungry Putin has been revealed for the hollow shell that he is. Isn't that interesting how turning points can happen? Look at the anger still in our society over racial equity, affirmative action. I had to work hard for where I am. How dare people get help that I didn't get? If you hear that, that's older brother thinking. If you think that, you might yourself be an older brother, struggling to see the generosity of God struggling to embrace the message that God's welcome is for everybody. This lesson is so hard for us, because if you're here on a Sunday morning in the middle of winter, oh, I'm sorry, spring, you're someone who likes to do things the right way. You're a good, upstanding person. Deep down, many church people are older brother types. And can we accept that God's love and forgiveness is not just for us good people, but for everybody? Can we really accept that? Know it and embrace it. Can we be an older brother who can't wait to join the father in racing to meet the younger brother, to embrace him and say, "You were lost and are now found, my beloved brother"? What will it take for us to do that? What changes did each character in this story have to make? The father, the younger son, the older son. What change, what deepening of our heart and spirit might allow us to join in the party, to celebrate with God and all the angels over the rescue of one sinner who has come home?